It's time for The Drive on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Glacier Garage, a local show for gearheads, car lovers, and those who just want to learn more about anything with four wheels. And now, The Drive on KFAR Radio.
Welcome to The Drive on KFAR Radio. I am Brandon.
And I'm Harley.
We are the owners of Glacier Garage, and this is The Drive. How you doing, dude?
You know, not bad. I'm sad that summer's winding down, fair is over. I'm thankful the fair is over, let me tell you. Man, with a nine-year-old and just doing all the things during the fair, I spent a month's mortgage in 4 days at the fair. But my kid is crazy because he liked the Kraken, going on all these rides. Yeah, he rode those solo because I'm not going on those. So, kudos to him. Kid's got a set of brass because I'm not doing that. Intense, not doing it. I'm just looking at the ride, like, move back and forth, just like, there's like four guide cables holding that thing. Nope.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, it must be ride season around the world because it was like, there was a ride very similar to the Kraken that was going viral in India or Pakistan or something.
Yeah, that, like, broke.
Yeah, like, snapped in half, right? Like, the counterweight somehow didn't kill anybody because, like, the video is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah, it's like I'm seeing that as we're like heading to the fair. It's like, no, there's a ride just like that. We rode it anyway, but
yeah.
What are you going to do?
I just wonder if that's because I started seeing that stuff when you were talking about riding the Kraken. And I just wonder if that's just like that AI technology. It's like it's always listening. So it starts showing you like recommended
Who
things.
Who knows? Yeah. It was funny. So we're going to do the monster trucks because that's their thing. That's their age right now. And then there's a bunch of artists that are going, one of which was Zed, who stood out to me. And it's electronic dance music, like, yeah, EDM, whatever. But he's a DJ, and he does, like, really cool music, light effects, the smoke and the lasers and all the stuff. And I threw it on our TV, like, just from YouTube, one of his live performances, and, like, was trying to get the kids all hyped up, like, let's do this, we should go to this. And, like, just trying to convince them. Brody's having a meltdown.
Just too intense.
Yeah, my youngest. I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go to the dance party. He's like, Jesus. He's been a Debbie Downer lately, though. All the things he's like usually just down for.
Yeah.
He's just, not in the mood.
I wonder, do you think he's struggling with the transition of his brother going to school?
I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. He's used to always having his brother, and now his brother's not there half the day. And pretty soon it'll be the full day. I can't believe. Man, we saw and maybe it's always been that way. It's just been 20 plus years since I've, been in grade school, but the hours were like 8:45 to like 3:45. So your kid is doing a 9 to 5, like it's a full work day at school.
Yeah, I think I remember school being
at 6 years old.
6 hours. But that's not including like your lunch break and stuff.
That's wild. That's a long time. So right now he's there from 8 to noon. They do 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's already spent. I don't know how he's going to do double that.
He's just going to come home exhausted like a guy coming home from a day at
mm-hmm.
work.
At 6 years old.
He's going to come home. He's going to sit down. Yeah, he's going to come home. He's going to sit down for dinner, palm on the forehead. He's going to have to tell you about his day. Dad, let me just tell you. Old Brian, he took my colored pencils. It was a rough day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Yeah, it's a long time for kiddos that age. Well, so one of the last times we spoke about this, we didn't have official lap times. So car stuff, we now have, for anybody out there who is interested and who doesn't know, ZR1 official Nürburgring lap times.
So just touching on that subject, like we went into it, just because it's been a big topic for the car community, a lot of drama, a lot of Ford guy versus Chevy guy, like button heads on the internet, a swinging contest more or less of like, we're going to be better.
I'm just impressed some American manufactured cars are in that
Yeah,
top
so I
10.
Guess that's, that's like the left, the right, and the center. It's like these guys are like, I'm just pumped that there's American cars on this list.
Yeah.
That are a fraction the cost of these exotics that are running this stuff.
I took down a list of the top 10 lap times for the ring. And I mean, let me tell you, there's some $1 million plus cars on that list. Mm-hmm. And for, and don't get me wrong, ZR1, Mustang GTD.
Not cheap.
None of these cars are cheap.
Right.
By any means. However, like one of them is an Aventador SVJ. $1 million car.
Especially now. I feel like it's gone way up. It was like a $500,000 car, wasn't it? I guess it depends how you spec it.
Depends on how it's specced. Yeah. But I mean, you can get an Aventador for $300,000 to $600,000, but an SVJ, you're probably looking $700,000 to over $1 million. And it's, you know, it's towards the tail end of the top 10. It's not even like the top five.
So I guess going into like now that you have the list, we were speculating, you know, there was no release times yet. I figured the ZR1 would win. It's a mid-engine car, makes more power. But on the other hand, the GTD is not a Mustang.
Right.
It looks like a Mustang. It wasn't built by Ford. It's full-purpose race car with its only purpose is to be the fastest on that track.
Yeah.
It's a ring car.
And so it's hard to be objective because I am much more of a like Chevy-leaning guy. I grew up being a Ford guy. My grandpa was a designer for Ford. So I grew up a Ford guy.
And owned many a Mustang.
Did own many of Mustangs. I think I've had 5 Fox Body Mustangs. Love the car. Used to really love the brand. The brand's not my least favorite, that's for sure. So, like, it's cool to see that. But, yeah, 100%, like, if you're just being objective, Chevy produces that car. It comes from that Bowling Green, Kentucky.
You can actually go to a dealer and buy it.
You can go to a dealer and buy it. And another, like, caveat to that whole lap time deal, not done by a pro driver, done by a Chevy engineer, which, again, it's kind of like, take that for what it is. Yes, they're engineers, but they're not like the, we sit and design all day.
They're not
engineers.
Right off the couch, never driven a car. Like, they've got some.
One of them had over 500 laps on the ring previous to doing this, and the other one had just
still
over
400. Still not a pro driver.
But they're still just, not a pro. They're just car seasoned guys. Car guys. Yeah. So, that being said, you know, what would the difference be if they put a like professional driver behind the wheel of one of those cars?
So what was the, do you have the GTD time, I take it?
Yeah, so the GTD time was 6:52.03 or something like that. So still very deep into the sixes, you would consider that. Definitely not like a 7-minute car.
And then where does that land on the list of top 10?
List the top 10, that puts it at, I want to say it was like 5. No. There's that guy. It is the 10th one.
Okay.
It is the bottom of the top 10.
Okay.
So, and to say it's the slowest of the top 10, it's still a very, very fast car. Yeah, it's the bottom of the top 10, whereas the fastest of the Chevrolets, which is the ZR1X, the all-wheel drive model, so it's a
hybrid.
So it's got 2 electric motors in the front to make it all-wheel drive. It produces 1,250 base horsepower. It ran a 6:49.2. So,
and I guess that's where the mob comes in, because the GTD is what, 850-ish horsepower.
Yeah.
This thing's mid-engine, all-wheel drive, makes 1,250. They're like, it only beat it by 3 seconds?
Right.
Like, that's pathetic, but then...
So, you know, and not being a track racer myself, and not being much of a drag racer either, but you look at what it takes to move the needle as far as, like, cutting a second off of a quarter-mile time.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of power or weight reduction, whatever it is, to move that second. That's a huge change, a lot. So it's like, you know, you add 300 horsepower to a 1,000 horsepower car, you're going to make up some time, but it's not going to be like you're going twice as fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to take a lot to improve on a time that's already very impressive. Again, that time of 6:52 is not slow.
And then the 6:49, like you said, I wonder what that could be. And I'm sure that somebody will test that.
Mm-hmm.
Some professional driver is going to run this car and see if they can beat that time.
Yeah. But. So the fastest car is a Mercedes AMG 1. And that came in at 629. And so if I remember what car that is like a hypercar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's again, being number one, being on this list, I want to say that is the most expensive car on the list. I didn't even look to see what that car is valued at, but if I had to guess, it'd be over $1 million.
$2.72 million.
Yeah, there you go. So for $2.7 million, you could probably buy about 12 or 13 ZR1s. That's crazy.
It is a two-seater. For some reason, I thought it was like a single...
Oh, like mid-seat. Single
seat, yeah, cockpit car, since its only purpose is to race.
Yeah.
But no, it's a two-seater.
So, and that's insane. And I mean, that beats...
Almost a $3 million car. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. But it's 20 seconds, more than 20 seconds faster than the ZR1X.
That's crazy. There's the ZR1.
Mm-hmm. So that one's 1,064 rear-wheel drive, and it came in at 650.7. So it was a second and a half slower. So, which is still 2 seconds faster than the Mustang.
And you're splitting hairs at that point where it's like your average guy, if you could go into a Ford dealer and buy a GTD, and then you got a guy that can go into a Chevy dealer and buy a ZR1X, it's like your average talent isn't going to be able to...
You're not going to notice the difference, I don't think. Yeah. And so I guess, you know, for someone to say, well, the power, the this, the that, you just look at...
They're very different cars, yes.
Yes, yeah. And well, that and the other, like, one is a purpose-built race car, and the other is not necessarily a daily driver, but it's a... Like you said, you can just go to the dealer and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing for me is like only people I see taking deliveries of these GTDs are like influencers and race car drivers. Very hard to get.
Yeah, I did see one show up on Vaughn Gittin Jr.'s page.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man.
Yeah, he got like the gray with the gray interior. Like
GTD RTR car. Mm-hmm. drift machine.
I can't. Yeah, that'd be. It's an expensive machine. I don't know what his RTR cars cost for him to build, but I can't imagine he's going to repurpose a
probably not.
$300,000 car.
No, just a Mustang guy. I'm sure that's just a personal collection thing there.
Yeah. So, yeah, number one is that Mercedes AMG One. Number two, Porsche 911 GT2 RS. And there's like some sub model information like 911.2 or something like that, but it ran it at 643.3. So, I mean, just the difference between first and second is 14 seconds. So, I mean,
the AMG One is a monster.
Yeah, substantial difference in performance with that car compared to everything else. And I can't imagine, like, I guess, you know, a guy could have done a little more research before the show, but I wonder how many of those AMG Ones have ever been produced. Like, that's probably a dang near impossible car to get a hold of, which is why it's fetching a $2.7 million price tag. Third, another Mercedes, AMG GT Black Edition. So that's another two-seater, bi-turbo V8, I think. You know, but it ran a 649 flat. So just ahead of the ZR1X. But I do want to say, I think that AMG GT Black is about the same price point as a ZR1X. They just came out with ZR1X pricing. And like for a decently optioned one, they're like $250, which is a lot for a Chevy,
man. That's a lot, yeah. It's a lot. I know it's the flagship car, and it's throwing big numbers, and still, you know, it's a lot cheaper than its competitors.
So, but I think that's why Chevy is talking about separating that nameplate, like Corvette, and making its own brand, because it's kind of changing directions. It's not meant to be like your household driven.
Just car like the anymore. Viper. It's not the Dodge Viper anymore. The Ram, I mean, even the Ram's not a Dodge Ram. It's Ram's its own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, having it keep the brand be Corvette and the model be ZR1 or whatever.
Yeah, or if you get a base model, you know.
Mm-hmm. Stingray.
Which is awesome, because like a guy like me who I would love to get into a base C8, but for what you get, to me, it's not worth 100K. And now that market has kind of just came down so much.
Oh yeah, like 60K for
You can get into a pre-owned base model C8 mid 50s all day if you search the country enough. A guy in Alaska, it's a little hard because then you got to ship it, so you're still in it. But it's like I look all the time just because one day I'll buy a C8 because I just want to experience that car. And
there's enough companies now where they've got, I mean, that they got the ECM's cracked, everything's dialed, the tuning's, you know, stock internal, stock fuel system, like 1,000 horsepower twin turbo kits are fully, you know, that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Like if you bought a pre-owned C8 and sent it somewhere in America to have it built, you could have a $90,000, 600 to 900 horsepower car. Just be insane.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to, at that point, you're upgrading clutches though. Like you can't just throw it on a stock trans.
You were saying something about like, the extra 400 horsepower only got you a couple seconds. Like there was some statistic, it was in the half mile stuff. Like the cars that were doing 200 miles an hour and then the cars that were doing like 215 or 220, like they were double in power.
Yeah.
So it's like you got a 1,000 horsepower car doing 200 and the like 2,500 horsepower cars are doing like 220.
Yeah.
Just to overcome the drag at those speeds.
Yeah.
You need like double the power to get an extra 20 miles an hour.
So insane. Yeah. Did you look at all to see what production numbers were on that AMG?
There's 275 ever made.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's not very many cars. Mm-mm. I wonder how many of them are in America, because I bet you a lot of them are over in Europe and overseas somewhere. I bet you there's not that many in America.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy. So we've done number three.
Probably take a quick commercial break and then we can keep going.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
The Drive. We'll be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Is your car feeling more tired than Monday morning without coffee? It might be time for an oil change. Don't let your car hit snooze on maintenance. Bring it to us, where we'll give it the wake-up call it deserves. Our oil changes start as low as $49, and that's for the good stuff. We're talking synthetic. And every oil change comes with a free safety inspection, plus we can check your filters and top off your fluids while we're at it. At a price that will leave you with plenty of pizza money, that's Glacier Garage at the end of South Cushman, just behind GCR Tire. Open 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. Online at glaciergarage.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50/50 Fridays? Duh, that's how. 50/50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's websites and click on the 50/50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50/50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50/50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50/50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50/50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to The Drive on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive on KFAR Radio. I'm Brandon.
I'm Harley.
All right, so we left off on what number here?
So it looks like, I think I misspoke. Number four was a ZR1X. After that is another Porsche. So we're kind of going over the top 10 fastest cars on the Nürburgring. And just like the huge difference in pricing on like the top number one car and working our way down. But yeah, so after the ZR1X is another Porsche. It's a 911 GT3 RS at 649.3. So literally a tenth slower than ZR1X. You know, I think, and that's why you looked at like ZR1s and all of the base C8s and all these other Corvette models that they've put out. That's who you see it. That's like the brands you see it with. Is you see them driving and testing with a bunch of Porsches and a couple of different Ferraris.
So the GT3 RS in particular is about the same price point according to this. But it's kind of the same thing though. I think it can be spec'd way higher.
Sure.
Like your entry level is that 250 range.
Yeah.
And you can get into it instead of a Corvette.
Yeah.
But then you can spec them all the way up to like $500,000.
I just wonder, after the ZR1 is out for a while, like what the overall maintenance cost difference would be between like a high level import, like a Porsche compared to.
I can only imagine. Unless shops have another rate for Corvette. You know what I mean? Like if you can take it to a dealer that has Corvette certified guys, like, I mean, if they sold it to you, they can service it.
True. Yeah.
So it's like you can take it right back there for warranty repairs and whatever.
So that's why, like, our local dealer, I don't even know if they're able to do oil changes on them yet.
I don't know about – I know that was an issue because we were doing them all.
Yes.
They're sending them all to us to do them. But I don't know if that's been remedied or not.
But I know they can't actually do warranty repairs on them.
Then I think it's probably the same.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, so I'd imagine if a dealer sold you a ZR1, you can just take it right back to them for service. And I'd imagine that rate would be, even outside of warranty, would be a lot lower than a Porsche dealership.
You would think so. And I don't know if the labor rate is significantly different, but I think
the parts
would be less.
Yeah.
But then again, like, I mean, you get into like the maintenance stuff. We're talking brakes. I mean, that ZR1X, they all come, I'm guessing, with carbon ceramics. Mm-hmm. And so that's what, you know, those Porsche are going to come with. And so it's like you do a brake job, you're doing rotor. You're doing, it's a $7,000 brake job.
Yep.
So it's insane. Maintenance is not cheap. But then again, if you're buying a $200 to $300 sports car.
Yeah, 7K for brakes, you know.
You shouldn't really have an issue with that.
You're right.
Or you shouldn't be buying that car.
Well, and I've seen people do that where it's like, I'm going to buy this car, like, buy a ZL1 1LE with carbon ceramics, and they know they're not going to track it. They're going to daily it. They'll change it out for steel, like regular brakes, and just put those in a box somewhere because I would rather replace traditional brakes than carbon ceramics if I'm just going to be like grocery getting in this thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. So after the Porsche comes the Lambo, 649.4. Again, that is a, you know, $500,000 to $1 million car. But I will say, being one of my favorite cars, if I had to choose out of every car on this list, that is a car that I would want to own.
Which model is that one?
The SVJ.
Oh, that is the SVJ.
Yeah, that is the SVJ.
Yeah, they're sweet.
Yeah, they're just cool. Man, with the Gintani exhaust, sounds so much like a F1. Like that V12 just screams.
Mm-hmm.
Revs super high. I think they revved like $9,000. It's nuts. Since we're running out of time, we won't go into too much more detail. Right after the Aventador SVJ, though, comes your two-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, ZR1, just over a second off pace at 650.7.
I feel like that's the most important, or that's the most impressive right there. It's not the X, it's not old drive, it's just a regular two-wheel drive, ZR1.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's competitive with the Aventador SVJ.
And then seeing the ZR1 dynoed, they're putting over 1,000 wheel horsepower down. So I feel like the power rating is actually underestimated on their base horsepower number.
Yeah, so that's crazy too. I've been seeing that more and more also. The sticker, because everyone's like, oh, it makes 800, and then dyno's like 650. It's like, sure, you're telling everybody it makes 8 on the Moroni, but yeah, that's crank. And like, I feel like this is the first time I've ever seen like dealerships. They're the number they're giving you is what it's putting down.
Yeah.
Like they could easily put 1200 on that sticker and it makes 1000, but they're saying it makes 1000 and it actually makes 1000.
And on top of that, I just watched a video from Fab Speed, who made custom exhaust for it, and it's available. You can go and buy it now. Dude, it increased horsepower, like 140 horsepower, just with different exhaust, and just allowed it to flow more. And watching the drive after they installed that exhaust, like their butt dyno was like, this is insane how much faster it just spools up and like gets into power. It's just insane. Made a huge difference. And for a quick bolt-on mod that didn't require, I don't think it required any tuning, it just made a huge difference. So that's cool.
I just wonder what the availability of this car is. Like, yes, you can go to a dealer and you can get it. But a lot of those cars, it's like, good luck.
So.
Because, like, the C6 is still a very rare car.
Like C6 ER1?
Yeah. Even the C7. It's like my entire time at Redline, we worked on Z06s all day, every day. I think I had 2 ZR1s coming the whole time, one with a big wing and one without.
But I feel like, do you think that maybe that comes down to people who buy those cars are typically like your Corvette purists that hold on to those and don't want to
modify them? Maybe.
And so,
because it's just like, rare car to see.
If I bought, like, my favorite C7 is a ZR1. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought the local Chevy dealer, they got the ability to get one, and they didn't get one. They're like, we'll never sell it. It's not going to go up in value. I'm like, dude, they're making a one-year run of this car. If we buy one and sit on it for a year, you're going to make money for sure. And they just didn't believe in it. And even if they were to dealer trade it, they would have been able to detrade it for above market, like for what they paid for it.
I remember because I was at Phil Smith in Florida and walked into the showroom, and there was a ZR1, like the fully loaded big wing. Mm-hmm. It was like 140.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't afford that car. There ain't no way, but it's like I could have doubled my money.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Well, I also, like when I started getting into really wanting a Corvette, C6 ZR1s were going for like 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. And now you cannot get one that isn't a reconstruct for close to $100,000. It's insane. So ZR1, 650.7. After that is a Porsche 911 GT2 RS. Again, some other 911 variant. Not sure what the actual complete spec number is because they got so many little subcategories.
Their plan was just to wipe everybody off the list with Porsches. So if they make like 20 different 911s.
Yeah.
They can just get them all on the list, and then the whole list is Porsches.
And so that's 651.4, just under a second slower. And then behind that is the Mustang GTD. So still just super impressive list to be a part of for those American-made cars. I think the price point on, you know, these new Chevys and stuff and the Mustang are hard to swallow for most people because then it's not really an obtainable car. It's like at least when your base Corvette came out, it's like, well, $100,000 or even the Z06 that, like, you know, you can get one for 120. Yeah. You know, your Super Duty, fully spec'd, or your Denali diesel 3500, they're peaking $100,000. So it's like, it's obtainable if you really, you know, want to live that life. Like, guys are just paying that for pickups. So it's like, yeah. That's not too crazy, but doubling up, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you got to pay to play if you want to be fast. Yeah, you got to pay.
Well, we are about out of time for today's show. We'll catch you next week on The Drive.
You've been listening to The Drive on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. The Drive is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.